Colossians chapter 1 says this. You don't need to turn there. I'm just going to read a couple of verses to you. It says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. So the stars in the heavens, the sun, the moon, everything you and I see, the clouds, everything, the law of gravity, all these things, the earth, the sea, the land, everything that lives upon this in the seas and in the land, upon the land, the beasts of the fields, the birds of the air, the fish in the sea, the flowers, the butterflies, all these things came out of God's creativity. When you look around you, you see people from all kindreds. Last count, we had over 104 different nationalities in this church. And every person, every culture, everything, God created all of us. The Bible says he made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities in the unseen world. In other words, there's a natural realm and there's a spiritual realm. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Everything is held together by the word of his power. God spoke in Genesis. He commanded things to come into existence, things that were not, and they came into existence simply by his word. That is the power of God's word. You are part of his creation. And since he created you, he alone holds the answer to life's questions. For example, who am I? Where did I come from? Why am I here? Is this all there is to life? Where am I going? When you yield complete control to him, in other words, when you give him complete control, inviting him to be Lord of every area of your life, you will discover the answers to these questions, and you will experience the true purpose for which he created you. The prophet Jeremiah said it this way, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith God. Thoughts of good and not evil, not disaster. Thoughts to give you a future, a hope, an expected end." God does have a plan for your life. He does have a destiny for you. Doesn't matter what you've heard, what you've been told. It doesn't matter where you are tonight. God has a plan for your life, just like we heard in the powerful testimonies tonight. To know Jesus Christ personally as Savior and Lord is the greatest privilege and adventure that you and I could ever experience. Hallelujah. Tonight, I think of a young woman who shared her testimony with me. She said, "Though my parents were Catholic, they themselves did not attend church except for the religious holidays." She said, "They encouraged us kids to do our sacraments, and so we did. I remember coming out of Mass with my sister," she writes, "when I was around 15 to 16 years old. Something had upset me, and I was cursing. In my heart, I knew religion was supposed to change you, and I made a decision that day that I would never go back to church." She said, "I became a metalhead." In other words, she got involved with heavy metal, listening to heavy metal, full of anger, and lived apart from God. She said, "By the time I got to college, I was wearing black all the time, and not only listening to heavy metal, but also to punk rock." And she said, "I began to feel a darkness coming into me, a darkness coming into my soul. And things began to get darker and darker." She says, "When I got into my sophomore year of college," she said, "I worked with a young man who was a Christian. And every time he saw me, he would talk to me about God." She said, "His best friend was also a Christian, and he also would talk to me about God." She said, the man that ran the elevator was a Christian, and he would talk to me about God. She said, the custodian who cleaned the computer lab where I worked was a Christian, and he would talk to me about God. You talk about being surrounded. One day, the custodian was sharing with me and asked me if I wanted him to pray for me. I said, sure. And he asked me to repeat what he was praying, and I did. She said, then he invited me to his church the next day. She said, when I went to the church, the pastor shared about Jesus dying for our sins on the cross. Something broke in me that night, and I cried like I had never cried in my life. She said, by the time I got home that night, though, I started getting thoughts that I was going to go to hell anyway, so I might as well do all the things that I had never done, that I had held myself back from, all the bad stuff that I had held myself back from. She said, later I found out that those thoughts were from the devil. She said, when the young man and his best friend found out that I had accepted Jesus into my heart, they took me under their wing and started to instruct me in the ways of God. She says, it has been years since that day at the church, and I can honestly tell you that God is a deliverer. Hallelujah. She said, he set me free from all the anger that was in my heart. She goes on to write and say, I work in full-time ministry now, and I am married to the most wonderful man in the world. This is my wife. Last Monday, we celebrated 19 years of marriage. And God has been good to us. How do we get to know him? How do we get to know Jesus? How do we get to know God? We get to know Jesus through the scriptures, through the word of God, through God's words. These are God's words, the scriptures. We get to know Jesus. We get to know God through the scriptures with the help of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. He comes and he takes the word of God and he makes it real. He makes it plain to us. He causes these words to come alive. And all of a sudden we realize that this is not just a story anymore, but this is real. That this is God. That this is the truth that we are in fact hearing. I remember when I first heard the gospel for the very first time, I heard it once. I had been raised a Catholic as well and had gone to church, but yet would come out the same. And in my heart, I knew there had to be more to life than what I was experiencing. And so finally, I remember I stopped going to church as well. And I had done all my sacraments and all these things, but something in me told me there was more. I remember when I heard the gospel for the very first time, someone shared Christ with me. And when I heard the words, I knew in my gut that what I was hearing was the truth. Something in me told me that this is what you have been searching for all your life. What I didn't find in smoking weed, what I didn't find in the clubs, what I didn't find in relationships, what I didn't find in drinking, what I didn't find in my career, this is what I was searching for. And that was the Spirit of God bearing witness, saying, this is the truth. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. When we begin to read the scriptures, one of the first things you discover when you begin to read the scriptures is that in order to walk with God, you have to be willing to agree with God. How can two walk together unless they agree? You see, the Bible says that all have sinned. There is no difference between any of us. All have sinned and come short of God's glorious standard. There is none righteous. There is none good. Not one of us, according to God's standard. We have all sinned. What is sin, you might ask tonight? Sin is choosing to live for ourselves rather than God. We sin when we ignore God, break his laws, and do things our own way. whether done intentionally or unintentionally, sin is wrong. Now, according to the scriptures, there is pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. Then the ride is over. The jig is up. The party's over. And all of a sudden, reality begins to sink in. The wages of sin is death, the Bible tells us. Sin has consequences. Sin destroys lives. So many in society today, I look around and you see so many are fearful or depressed. And as a result, many are flocking to doctors and therapists to seek counseling, to get counseling, to get medication, to get prescriptions to help them cope with the day's struggles and trials. Now, I'm not knocking these things, folks. There are times when we need professional help. But they are not finding the relief that they need because their problem is not a physical one. It's a spiritual problem. And they need supernatural help that can only come from God. See, we are not just physical beings. We are spirit, soul, and body. And see, you can be physically healthy, seemingly, and mentally or emotionally healthy, seemingly, but if you're not spiritually healthy, you are not whole. Something is wrong, something is amiss, and eventually, the fact that you're not spiritually healthy will begin to permeate the rest of your life. Your physical life, your mental, your emotional well-being will begin to be affected, is affected as a result. Does that make sense tonight? Sin ruins lives. There are others whose lives are just completely messed up, busted up, because they've chosen to live their life independent of the Lord. Sin destroys relationships with family, friends, and with God. Sin brings misery, shame, pain, suffering, and death. Because of sin, we were alienated, separated from God. But God loves you. I said, God loves you. Hallelujah. The scripture says that he loved you so much that he gave his one and only son, that if you were to believe in him, and that word believe means to cling to rely on, to trust in him. If you were to trust in him, if you were to cling to him, rely on him, believe in him, you would not perish. You would not be destroyed. You would not have to bear the consequences and the weight of your sin any longer, but you would have everlasting life. The life of God, the life that he intended for you to have from creation would now come into you by his spirit and you would become a new person. Hallelujah. He, God, is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. Folks, this is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sacrificed his son to take away our sins. Hallelujah. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins. And not only our sins, but the sins of the entire world. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. Saved from the penalty of sin. Saved, separated unto God. Hallelujah. Saved from having to bear the consequences of sin and to live with those consequences. Hallelujah. Saved so you don't have to spend an eternity in hell. But now you become a citizen of heaven. You become part of God's family. And one day when that trumpet sounds, you go with the people of God and you leave this accursed earth to spend eternity with him forever and ever in heaven. Hallelujah. We are made right with God, Romans 3:22 says, by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. Today, you can get right with God. You can walk with Jesus. You can have all your sins forgiven. You can have a new life. If your life is broken, if your heart is broken, the Bible says he specializes in healing the broken heart and binding up their wounds. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. If you will repent, in other words, if you will turn to God today from evil, you can walk out of here with a clean slate. All the wrong things you've ever done, ever thought, hallelujah, all of a sudden your record in heaven will be completely clean. And your sins will no longer be held against you. Not only the sins you committed, but even future sins. Hallelujah. He pays the price for your future sins. Amazing thought. He no longer counts our sins. The psalmist said, put it this way, if he were to count our sins, if he were to hold our sins against us, who among us could stand? If he were to still keep a record of our sins, but there is forgiveness with him so that he might be feared, so that we might stand in awe of him and his goodness. What an amazing Savior. What an amazing salvation. If we say we have no sin, in other words, if refusing to admit that we are sinners, we are only fooling ourselves, the Bible says, and refusing to accept the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, in other words, if we freely admit we have sinned, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us, to purify us from every wrong. In other words, everything that's not in conformity to his will in purpose, thought, and action. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. In other words, that his life, his kingdom, he himself has no place in our lives. My question to you today is, will you accept him? His hand of mercy is extended to you tonight. His hand of love is extended to you tonight. Will you open your heart to him? Bow your heads with me all over this house, on this main floor and up in the balcony. Tonight, if you're here for the very first time and you say, Pastor, that's me. I'm a sinner. I'm not living for God. Maybe at one time you walked with him, but you've never been born again. You've never been born from above. Maybe you had a belief in God. You've believed in him all your life, but you've not known this intimate relationship that we've talked about tonight, this new life that can only be birthed of God. And you say, Pastor, I'm tired of going at this on my own. I want to know that my sins are forgiven. I want to get right with God. I want a relationship with Jesus Christ. If that's you tonight, and you say, Pastor, I'm willing to turn my heart over to him, would you raise your hand here on the main floor, up in the balcony? Raise your hand real high. Join these whose hands are going up all over this house unashamedly tonight. Don't let the devil rob you of this moment. He wants to drag you to hell, but Christ came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Raise your hand high tonight all over this house. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Maybe you're backslidden here. At one point you walked with the Lord, but you drifted away. You've grown cold. And you say, Pastor, I want to come back to Jesus. Folks, it's not up to you to get your life together and to come back to Christ and present your life perfect to him. You can't do that. He's going to get your act together. He's going to turn your life around. He's going to save you. This is a supernatural work that he does. Tonight, if you say, Pastor, I'm backslidden. I drifted from God, but I want to come back to him. Would you raise your hand tonight all over this place? Here on the main floor, up in the balcony, in the annex, you can put your hand down now. In a moment, we're going to stand, and I'm going to invite those of you who raised your hand to quickly get out of your seat and to come join me at the front of this church, and we're going to worship together, and then we're going to pray a prayer. And we're going to give our hearts to Christ tonight completely and totally. And you're going to walk out of here a new person. Hallelujah. The Bible says he leaves the 99 and he goes after the one. He's after you tonight. He loves you tonight. He knows the pain. He knows the anguish. He knows the emptiness. He knows the desperation. He knows the hopelessness tonight. He's come to set you free. Let's stand all over this place. Here on the main floor, up in the balcony. Let's stand tonight. Hallelujah. We're going to worship together. But those of you who raise your hand, quickly get out of your seat. Don't let the devil rob you of this moment. Don't try and rationalize this moment away. This is your night for a miracle. You will never be the same. You will never be the same tonight. He will set you free from drugs. He'll set you free from alcohol. He'll set you free from fits of rage. He'll set you free from thoughts of suicide tonight. He'll break the cigarette habit. Hallelujah. He'll break the porn habit tonight. He'll break it all tonight. His anointing still breaks every yoke. The Holy Spirit is here tonight. The Spirit of God to free you from every bondage tonight. We're going to sing in a moment, and then we're going to pray in Jesus' name. This night is all about you. God loved you so much that he was willing to sacrifice his own son so that you and I could be reconciled to him, so that we could be made right with God. Tonight, I want to invite you to pray a simple prayer with me, to ask Jesus to come into your life and to forgive you, to cleanse you, and to take complete control of your life from this moment on, and to make you into the person he destined you to be from the very beginning, when you were formed in your mother's womb. The prayer means nothing unless you pray it from your heart, but if you pray it, God will hear you, and he will answer you today, and you will walk out of here a new person. Would you raise your hands with me tonight as a sign of surrender to God Almighty? And would you bow your head and pray with me from your heart? Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, I acknowledge tonight that I am a sinner and that I need you to be my Savior. I don't want to live in sin anymore. I want to live for you from this moment on. Come into my heart and take complete control. Be Lord of all. I renounce everything of evil. And tonight, I claim you as my God. I believe right now that you are hearing my prayer and that you've answered my cry. Thank you for loving me. I trust you and I surrender. Thank you, Lord, in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.